I wonder if we could look for a few moments at a verse in Matthew 13. We've been hearing about some exceedingly precious promises in the present truth in Peter's epistle. And the Lord asks him a question in Matthew 13 and verse 51. Jesus said unto them, "Have ye understood all these things?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then he said unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder that bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." This verse brings back to mind a story of a young man who, through a gospel tract, found himself in a great home, staying in a great home full of many precious things. And he would pick up one thing and they'd say, "Oh yes, this was a brooch that Marie Antoinette wore. Or this was a sword that the king carried. Or this was a bedroom set that was given by the Italian royal family to this house when there was a marriage," and so on. And this house was full of treasures. He was a young man and he didn't really know very much about those things and didn't really value those things very much. And years passed, 30 years passed later, and he passed by that house with his own son. I know this situation very well. There was a sign on the door, "Admission $7, and they went into the house and took a tour of this house, and there was quite a group of people, and the house was empty. There were no treasures in it anymore. And people were kind of oohing and aahing at the beautiful architectural features of this house. And this man who had been a young man, who was now an older man, was in the house looking and with quite a look on his face. And the tour guide stopped and he said, "You know," he said, "I never saw this house with the treasures in it." He said, "You obviously did by the look on your face." And I think of you, dear young people, you know, I don't think there's one person in this room, and my wife's not here, but even my wife, that I would know if it were not for the great and precious promises and the blessing of the truth. I don't think Ron would know his wife. I don't think Heinz would know Brigitte probably in the way that he does, or that you would have the friends that you have. And these are very, very precious things that the world doesn't know anything about. I crossed the border once and going to Vestal, and the border guard said to me, "Why would you know anybody in Vestal?" And I said, "Oh dear, this is going to be a hard question to answer." And we say, these are precious promises, and we just enjoy quiet order among people that love us, and we've had brethren that we'd have no reason to know here in Dorothy that have cared for us and gone out of their way to accommodate us. And these are very precious things. And we may not realize it at all. There was a Canadian family that once bought the house of Emily Carr, and the artist, she was kind of eccentric, and they didn't know the value of things. They cleaned out the attic and burned it all, and they realized afterwards they had a $1 million bonfire in the backyard. And maybe some of you young people are like that. Well, that's why I speak of the household, because the household are the things that we collect around ourselves and that are important to us. When we're single, we can pack everything into the back of a station wagon and move, and if you've been married a few years, you've got a household full of things. And householder is something that has something. And we have a treasure, and you may not realize it. But every scribe that is instructed, he says, unto the kingdom of heaven. We have an everlasting kingdom. We read of that in Peter. But in the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder. Man speaks of responsibility and headship and bringeth out of his treasure things new and old. I'm going to just turn to a verse in Leviticus chapter 26. I think it's going to highlight the order of the words there. 10, thank you. And ye shall eat the old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Thank you very much. When they came into the land that the Lord had promised them, ye shall eat the old store and bring forth out of the old because of the new. Let's just turn to one other verse in the Song of Solomon to just bear this out, because it's a consistent thing. And I think that this is a difficulty sometimes to many of us as believers. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 12. Let us get up early to the vineyard and let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth, and there will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a sweet smell, and our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. We have learned in Peter that we have all things that contribute to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said to him, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If I was to ask anybody to come up here with a pair of scissors and take a pair of scissors to this Bible and tell me which page should I cut out that is not profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, I don't think there'd be one person that would stand up in this room and say, well, yes, there's pages in the Bible that are not profitable for that. But what we have here in Matthew is it's a scribe that's one that diligently studied the Word of God. I understand that the scribes would copy by hand the scriptures, and if there was one mistake they found, they would destroy all their work and start over. Because they said, if we made one, maybe we made more than one. They were diligent, and there was diligence in connection with it. But they had the old because of the new. And unless we understand the present truth into which God has placed us, we're never going to understand this blessed book. And our brothers brought before us a little bit the warning of going back to Judaism, a Judaism system of rules and regulations. And you know, when we were younger, Heinz said it to his mother, it didn't work. Ron said it to his mother, I said it to mine, and everyone in this, Reuben said it to his. Well, just show me, why can't I do this? The so-and-so's down the road, they do it. And they opened this book and they said, it's because of what the Word of God says, and they opened up a scripture. We wanted to put ourselves under a law, just give me a rule. And they wanted to bring before us the Word of God, because man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the Old Testament, there were people under law that really had a nature that was opposed to God. And so it stood there and it said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. But you know, as our brother was bringing before us, he taketh away the first that he might establish the second. If any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. And he said there were two groups in this room. There's actually three in Scripture. I'm not questioning or correcting what he said, but because one of those groups is divided into two, you're either a Jew, a Gentile, or the Church of God. You're either under law, or you're a Gentile without hope and without God in this world, or you're a new creature in Christ. And you have a desire to please the Lord. And I don't care what you look like or how you're going on with, but if you really belong to the Lord, you have a nature that can only be happy by doing the will of God. And if you're an unhappy believer, or if I'm an unhappy believer, it's because I'm not being obedient to the Word of God. That is the new present truth into which we've been brought. He's not trying to fix up the old. He's not trying to put chains on the old and bring it under restraint. But we've been brought into, as we had there in Hebrews, and we have and quoted from the 40th Psalm, is that I come to do thy will, O God. That is true of every believer. And so we now understand, as we open up the scriptures, the Old Testament, we understand that because where there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're in an entirely new place, and he's given us a nature, a life and a nature that delights to do the will of God, and it needs the Word of God to be instructed. All of the Word of God. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we make ourselves poor. It's like cleaning out that great house. We make ourselves poor if we set aside any part of the Word of God. And so we find there's a number of things that we get as we turn to the Old Testament. And I see our time has rapidly passed. But as you turn to the Old Testament, those two were discouraged. They had expectations, wrong expectations. It's numerous times different brethren have referred to it, that they were hoping that the kingdom would be restored to Israel. The thief understood that the kingdom was going to be restored to Christ. Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. But they were discouraged, and so the Lord opened up the scriptures to them. Which scriptures? The Old Testament scriptures. And he said, ought not Christ to have suffered and entered into his glory? And those are two beautiful things that we get out of the Old Testament, aren't they? Is the sufferings of Christ for us and with us. In the Old Testament. It's a wonderful thing to realize what Christ suffered for us and what he suffered with us. You get that in Lamentations. One of the most comforting verses to me in Scripture I shouldn't say one of the most, but a very comforting verse in Scripture is in the 69th Psalm when the Lord said, "My foolishness was not hid from thee." The Lord was never foolish. You ever done anything foolish? Everybody in this room has done something foolish. But the Lord knew what it was to suffer for my foolishness, and he could confess it as his own. He could say, "Remember not the sins of my youth." You committed youthful sins? The Lord confessed those as his own. And what comfort we get out of the sufferings of Christ, and how many times in the breaking of bread we've opened up the Old Testament and seen Christ in those, in the sufferings of Christ. And what a blessed thing that is. We have that. The poor Jew, he doesn't understand that. I was just talking to a sister here, and my brothers encountered the same thing. On the Passover, they have a chicken bone, some horseradish, and an egg on the table. Now, I suppose the chicken bone represents a pigeon, and the horseradish represents bitter herbs, and she told me that the egg represents resurrection. But do they see Christ in that? When her brother spoke about Abraham lifting up the knife on his son Isaac, do they see God shall provide himself a lamb? Do we see that wonderful truth? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? No. There's darkness is veiled over their eyes. But as we open up this blessed book, we see the sufferings of Christ and how thankful we are, because we get remarkably little of the sufferings of Christ in the Gospels. He opened not his mouth. We don't find the Christ, so to speak, the feelings of Christ's sufferings, but we get them in the Psalms, and how wonderful it is that now we see the finished work of Christ, of which we've been hearing. We hear of what Christ has suffered. And then we read about the glory that's to follow, and we see these beautiful pictures of our brothers referred to it, about Joseph, of seeing Joseph, Jacob going to see Joseph, tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. And how doesn't it thrill our hearts as we go about in this profane, ungodly world where we hear the Lord's name taken in vain, and just to think that the Lord is going to be honored in this world and lifted up and raised, the one who was put down like Joseph was. And we see Joseph taking a Gentile bride. Well, we could be here for weeks if we stood up and took all the beautiful pictures of the glory that we should follow out of the Old Testament from Scripture. And so this, we have this because we have the new. To the one who doesn't see Christ in his finished work on the cross, it's just a blind book. And really, unless we really see the place in which Christ has placed us, we may not see any more in the Old Testament. And I don't want to be irreverent, but you know, you see little things on papers, Ezekiel bread, and somebody makes a recipe for whole wheat bread out of the Old Testament. They call it Ezekiel bread, and they see different dietary things in the Old Testament and all that sort of thing. I mean real Christians, because they don't really see the place into which Christ has placed us. But we can go back to the Scriptures. We're just going to turn just for a minute, and I see our time is going, but two other things I believe that we can see in the old, that we have in the Old Testament because of the New, and why Paul wrote those words to Timothy in 1 Corinthians 10, that Paul says to the Corinthians, and I think these things are well known to many of us, but it's just to encourage us to read this Word of God. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, "Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Our brother Gordon used to remind us that we are never going to pass a circumstance in life. I remember as a young brother coming to care meeting, we're never going to encounter a situation in life to which we will not have something, a story in the Word of God to correspond to what we are going through. God, why did God let those people of Israel wander through the wilderness for 40 years? Is so that we could learn from their experience. And so we have that because we see the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. We see it as a finished work. We have the old because of the new. And then there is one other thing that is evident in the book of Corinthians, and it's evident also in the book of Timothy, is that God's moral ways do not change. And I think that's a very important thing, because, you know, man thinks that God's moral ways don't change. Our relationship changed with because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law was a governor to keep man under control until Christ came. But once a man has a new nature and a power to that new nature, when he has eternal life and a power to that new nature in the Holy Ghost, and he has the life of Christ, I come to do thy will, O God, and the word of God, he has everything, as we've been reading in Peter, that he needs to do to walk through this Christian life. We have everything through the knowledge of Christ. And we see Christ in the Old Testament. The Spirit of Christ which was in them, who was them? Noah, Moses, David. The Spirit of Christ which was in them did testify. We see the Spirit of Christ in those old ones, and we can turn back and we can see it. And now that we're not children in school under the tutelship of the law, that we're brought up into the full maturity of having a desire to do the will of God and the life and nature of Christ, that we have the Word of God to instruct us in this, and so it's so useful to us. But God's moral ways don't change. When my boys were young, their Uncle Don used to sit them on their lap, 3 years old, 4, 5, 6 years old, let them put their hands in the steering wheel and drive down the beach there and near Pleasantville. And now, you know, it just struck me the other day that they, not too long ago, they were down there and they needed to run an errand, and he took the keys out of his car and he tossed them to him and he said, "Here, take my car, you run to the store." Did his attitude towards his Jeep change? Did his attitude towards driving change? No. It was my son that changed. It was the relationship that changed. And that's what has changed when Christ finished his work on the cross. And so there is that. And so we have in the Word of God that instruction, but God's moral ways do not change. It was wrong to tell a lie in the Old Testament, and it's wrong to tell a lie in the New. And you would say, well, if my six-year-old boy banged into a rock, you would say, well, that was pretty bad. But, you know, you'd feel a lot worse about it if you were 28 years old, because the relationship brings with it more responsibility, not less. We are far more responsible under the law. The mother who does it, who lets her little child set the table with the silverware, she starts out with the silverware, and then she gets old enough and she says, yes, you can handle that china dish very carefully. But, you know, it'd be a far more serious thing if that child got to be a teenager and she started tossing around that china dish. And I think sometimes as Christians we're that way. God's moral ways, his attitude doesn't change, but our relationship changes with it, and with that it brings us into more responsibility. And we can read and we can see how even in this epistle to Corinthians, and how the Word of God was helpful to them in the book of Acts when they would turn to the Scriptures to see how to deal with things in the assembly and the problems that were there. And even in dealing with wickedness, Paul said to Timothy, the law is good. There's a useful law. It's used for whoremongers and adulterers. And if a man behaves like that, then you have to use that kind of scripture. But you know, no real believer wants to steal. But Paul had to write to the Ephesians, let him that steals stole no more. He had to write to the Corinthians, you're not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Because you see, God hated that in the Old Testament. He hated to see a man put an ox to work and put a muzzle on him. And he hates it in the New Testament. God's moral ways don't change. And so I think these are just some of the four things that we get. But we have gotten all things that contribute to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And we've got that in this book. And again, as I said, there's not a three-year-old in this room that doesn't know what the word all means. If I said all have sinned, they know what it means, everybody in this room. And all scripture means every word of this blessed book is profitable. I may not be intelligent as to it, and I may be unspiritual in the way I take it up, and we need to go to the Lord about that. But we have, he has given us all things that contribute to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And if we have see Christ in the scriptures, we're going to get the help that we need for the pathway, whether it's at home or whether it's in the assembly or where it is. I was thinking about the mandrakes, and I don't want to get speculative, but you know, I think the Bible dictionary says it's sometimes called the fruit of Eden, or it's a very sweet fruit growing low to the ground. And you know, there's not all truth is high truth. Brother Heinz was referring to high truth and low truth, and it is. But you know, some of the simple truth that we have, the simple truths, let him that steals stole no more, let every man tell truth, speak the truth to his neighbor. How many difficulties have been caused in the assembly by the violation of a simple truth like that? The men just don't tell the truth to one another. That's not high truth. That's not we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a very, very low truth. And yet, like the mandrake, it's close to the ground, and you can see there where within the story of Jacob, that the mandrakes were brought and how it healed a very difficult situation there. And there's these fruits. And when you see even the children in the assembly acting in a courteous way and an obedient way to their parents, that is why we're enjoying what we're enjoying now. And that is why we see in this Christian world, as the truth of God is given up, we just see, our brother was through St. Thomas, and he said, you know, he sat and he watched the kids getting off the school bus, and it just makes your heart ache when you see in this Christian land the way the poor people, or young people, and older ones are going on just like lost puppies in a world, and yet what riches, what treasure we have in the Word of God, and we need to profit by it, and how thankful we are that He has given it. We would never understand it if it was not. We have the old because of the new. And so God has given us all things that contribute to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, and we find Christ in every page of this blessed book.